As we ring in the new year, there are some new laws on the books here in Connecticut. And who better to check in with than our buddy, our pal, political reporter from News 8, Mike Cerulli, joins us now. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year, dude. Are we going to keep working together in 2026? No, listen, it's fine. I hope you and I keep working together in 2026. Did you notice that you made my recap reel on Instagram? You did.
You're in it. Because you know when you post that, it shows up in my Instagram DM inbox because you tagged me in it. So
good.
I did see that. Yeah.
Well, good, because I thought you were a highlight to my 2025. You and I got to work so closely together, and I was really thankful for that. The Made series and having you as a consistent contributor to Melissa in the Morning. So I hope that continues in 20. I hope I didn't scare you. That's my hope.
Well, that seems like a separate question.
Those are two separate things. You're like, you scare me, but I'll come back.
Yeah, right back at you. So,
all right, fair.
Looking forward to a new year. And obviously, it's going to be a really busy year between the next legislative session and multiple interesting races around the state. I think it's going to be really fascinating.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say what Mike Cerulli and I are working on behind the scenes. But yes, we are definitely hoping to collaborate and work together more, especially ahead of the gubernatorial race. So stay tuned in 2026. It should be a good year and more Mike Cerulli on the way. Let's talk about, with 2026, we've got more laws on the books. Specifically, I know you had done a story on this, but housing obviously is the big focus, right, for 2026. I want to make sure people know what to expect.
Yeah, so parts of the housing bill start to go into effect on January 1st. When they write legislation, they're typically putting what they call effective dates of either January 1st, July 1st, October 1st. It really just depends on the nature of the bill. Some bills take multiple months or years to implement and have, maybe if they have 10 sections, maybe 7 of them have one effective date and 3 of the sections have another effective date. And the housing bill, portions of it start to go into effect in January. But just because they start to go into effect doesn't mean that you'll see the effects starting in January, because some of these things are, the housing growth plans, right, that need to be developed. And even if they're completed, they're going to take a bit to implement. One of the things I just highlighted in my story that does go into effect is a ban on this thing that people who advocate for the homeless, they've coined it hostile architecture. It's sort of one of those wonky policy terms, but most people will actually be familiar with what this is, which is if you've ever sat on a park bench and wondered why there's so many, new armrests on it that go all the way across the bench or something like that. Those are examples of things that prevent people from laying down fully across it. It could be on a park bench, it could be on a train station, a bench when you're waiting for the train to come. People are probably familiar with these. I mean, if you think about it, in a couple of minutes, you'll be like, oh yeah, I've encountered that before.
So they're banning
that.
There's
a new ban. Yeah, there's a new ban on the construction of new hostile architecture, and there are exceptions in the law for anything that exists already. So if something exists right now, they're going to have to tear it down. The towns will not have to tear it down. And if it exists to prevent skateboarding or kind of things like that, they're not going to make them remove that, or they can even build new ones if they want. So it's really, I think we sometimes forget that the bill had a lot of elements to do with homelessness in it, as well as housing. Of course, those two things are deeply related to each other.
Well, let's remember, Mike Cerulli, that this started as a homeless study. I mean, back during the legislative session of this year, that is what it originally was, wasn't it? It was voted out of the committee as a homeless study that was a few pages long. Then it basically morphed into this massive housing bill. So it's not too surprising that there's a lot of those elements in it.
Yeah, so this happens a lot in the legislature, where they will have working drafts of titles of these bills, essentially, and then as the session progresses, sometimes even to the last few weeks of the session, they stick large amounts, dozens of pages of language into it. They typically know that they're going to do this. Like when we came into session, earlier this year, and all the reporters were kind of thinking about what was going to be reported on. We knew that there was going to be a housing bill. We had known for a while. Of course, the housing kind of that crowd of people who advocate for it, both elected legislators and people who lobby for it. They'd been angling for action on it. So we knew that there was a bill coming. That one was the one that they happened to use as the kind of legislative vehicle for it. That happens sometimes, you know, sometimes they know and they title it in a way that is sort of vague and then put the language in toward the end of the session. And sometimes they kind of stick it in an existing bill. It kind of mirrors
like an implementer
in Congress,
bill.
Right.
Right.
It's a little bit different from the budget implementer is usually its own standalone piece of legislation. But
same kind
of
concept where they will.
Congress.
Right. OK. All right. Well, I feel like with implementers, it's like there are usually either things that didn't get the support to get voted, you know, through a committee. But then they all of a sudden end up in the implementer bill. Sort of that same concept.
They'll typically, you know, and I know that there's a big debate about over this among Democrats and Republicans is typically one of the things that differentiates the implementer from standalone pieces of legislation is standalone legislation, you know, you debate it. Like, they debate the implementer and all that stuff too, but the individual elements of it, as you just mentioned, are sometimes very obscure and there's many of them. So it's hard to kind of flesh out one by one. Like as we saw in the regular session of legislature, there was a standalone debate and scrutiny of the housing bill, which was the version of it that was ultimately vetoed by the governor after being passed. But the standalone bill, like it's not a perfect process. And believe me, I was frustrated by, as a reporter was frustrated by a somewhat similar, but not, it was a little bit different situation that happened with the big energy bill, which is the Democratic majority held a big press conference to unveil that they were going to be focusing on energy legislation in the session. This was probably in January or February of this year. And they didn't have any text or an outline or a sort of, you know, bullet points on what was going to be put in there. So there was not even anything to really, you know, ask questions about and sort of probe and discuss. And I was just like, what's going on here? So it does happen. It'll probably happen next session. I'll ask questions about it. There'll be frustrations and we'll see where it nets out.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that. So there are actually several laws in Connecticut that will take effect in the beginning of 2026. It includes a minimum wage increase. There are some new changes for driver's license applications, even solar panels on condo units. That's going to change the bylaws, I should say, are going to change as well on that. But I want to certainly focus on housing. As you know, earlier this fall, there was a special session and kind of in an emergency situation. The House bill did, in fact, pass, House Bill 8002. And it does take effect in many ways starting January 1st. And we're talking to political reporter Mike Cerulli from News 8. And as you were just saying before, Mike, which I think is important to reiterate, this is kind of, yes, it takes effect at the beginning of the new year. However, it's going to kind of take time. So, you know, we talk about obviously the big goal here is to build more housing across Connecticut. But that's not going to happen by next week, right? I mean, talk a little bit more about this.
Yeah, so it's going to take a long time before we see the full impacts of this housing bill. And almost in a way, it's going to be sort of an experiment, right? We've heard for basically a full calendar year now from opponents of this legislation and many of the components that are included in it. And they describe a future in which developments are, you know, in the words of the opponents, that developments are sort of rammed down the throats of communities that don't want them. Developments are put in places that might not necessarily make sense for communities. And then you hear from proponents of the bill who talk about hopefully lowering the cost of housing in Connecticut. So you're going to have a test over the next 1, 2, 3 years as this bill is fully implemented. And then as developers take a look at it and decide to act based on the conclusions that they draw, and then communities will react to the actions of developers. Maybe there will be legal actions. Maybe there will be regulatory actions. Maybe there will be changes made to this housing bill in the coming months or years, because people are looking at the language in it and say, wait a minute, there was a mistake made here, or this thing needs to be tweaked because of the consensus among certain communities that it wants to, they want to critique it. So it's almost going to be a little test, a little experiment about political rhetoric versus the actual reality of policy implementation, but certainly one way or the other, we're going to see what happens here as this bill goes into effect. We're going to watch in real time, quite literally, those of us that live in the places that were, you know, kind of skeptical of all this, you know, where the representatives were skeptical of all this, we'll see in real time. Do we start to see scaffolding and construction sites all over the place? And how do people react to that?
Yeah, well, and it's interesting as well, Mike, because this year is very unique in the sense that it's also a gubernatorial election year. And so it's interesting because Governor Lamont has already said, I don't want to touch this bill. He said point blank on the show after he announced he was running for a third term. I asked him, I said, you know, that even with all the work that you put in, Governor, and the amount of people you and your team have spoken to, you know, and I know you feel a lot better about this version of the bill than the one you vetoed earlier this summer. Like, I get that. But do you think this is what lawmakers, honestly, on both sides of the aisle have said, which is this is a great framework. This is a great place to start. And during the session, we can keep building on it. And he straight up said no. He said, no, I don't want to touch this. I'd like to let it play out for at least a year or two or more, and then we can go back and tweak it as is. And he said, but I want to let it breathe. So I think it's going to be interesting during the session because Governor Lamont has already said, like, look, we did what we needed to do. I don't want to touch this during the session, essentially. And it's interesting because it is an election year for him. So I it'll be interesting to see, A, what his party does, but B, what comes out of the session, because the governor has no interest right now in doing anything more with housing. Like, he's good.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they signed some at least technical linguistic changes to what was passed in November. I think there were already some areas that people identified as maybe we should go in and tweak this and clarify certain things. But as far as the substance of, like, the major policy planks, yeah, I think it took a long time to get people to the positions that they were able to get to in November, particularly the governor, obviously, right, having vetoed a similar bill a few months beforehand. I also think that there is that element within the Democratic Party of, you will see housing bills introduced in this year's legislative session, or the upcoming legislative session in 2026. You'll see a housing legislation that is more progressive in the positions that the governor has taken. And he will have, on the one hand, an incentive maybe to want to kind of lock arms with the progressive wing of his party as he tries to shore up all of his political defenses for the election. And on the other hand, he's also going to want to be perceived as moderate and sensible,
right,
in places that probably don't like some of those policies. I don't want to, you know, sort of paint with a broad brush about any community, but look, I mean, we saw it in June with the veto. Like, it was very much inspired by feedback he was getting from suburban leaders, and those same suburban communities happen to be the places where Governor Lamont has done pretty well, particularly when you look at the improvements he made between 2018 and 2022 when he was on the ballot.
Yeah. It'll be certainly an interesting 2026, and we are keeping a very close eye on the political, I should say, spectrum in Connecticut with, you know, we have special elections coming up in February, including in Fairfield. We've got the new legislative session that's going to be happening in February. And as I mentioned, Mike Cerulli is going to be covering it at News 8, but also will be with us here on WACC every step of the way. And Mike, I always appreciate you and the work that you do. Thank you so much, my friend. And we will be talking throughout 2026. Count on it.
Thanks so much. Looking forward to it.
All right. Mike Cerulli again, political reporter at News 8 right here on WICC